Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. But what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of the Lord. For a new crop to grow, the remains of the old one need to be plowed under. For a seed to grow, it has to be buried, and it has to rip itself open and destroy itself to become a new stalk of wheat. For a phoenix to rise from the ashes, it has to burn up first. Even for a new light bulb to be plugged in, the old one has to be taken out and disposed of. Change means that something else has to end. We have to make room for change. We have to let things go. We have to say goodbye to, "But we've always done it this way." And then we have to find the energy and momentum to do the work for change to be successful. It's not enough to half-heartedly try something once and then assume it could never work. Change means that something else has to end. Change requires our participation. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could sit back and assume that someone else would take care of making the world a place full of justice and mercy and kindness. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could leave decisions to someone else. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could build walls between groups of people and convince ourselves that they're different from us. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could fight having to make any kind of change and hold back the stalk of wheat that wants to grow out of the seed. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we would never have to apologize or admit that we might have been wrong. Jesus did not die on the cross to prove that he would have agreed with any opinion that you might happen to have. No, Jesus died on the cross so that through his resurrection, his message and his offer of salvation could climb up towards heaven like a stalk of wheat rising from underneath the ground, rise up for all people to see, to be drawn in to the love of God. Jesus died on the cross because humanity was so reluctant to change our cycles of hatred and violence and distrust that we executed a teacher who dared to teach a gospel of radical love and acceptance. Change means that something else has to end. What are we clinging onto and refusing to let fall to the ground? Are we clinging onto physical things that we don't need anymore? Are we maintaining old terminologies or ideas and getting frustrated when we're told they're out of date or offensive? Are we too caught up in our own conversations to invite a new person to join in? Are we so confident that our opinions are right that we refuse to even listen to anyone else? When we are wrong, do we apologize or try to cover it up? When something makes us uncomfortable, do we do something about it or hope that it will go away on its own? Do we feel so threatened by the idea of change that we will continue to let people die rather than begin the uncomfortable work of breaking down the systems around us that continue to cause harm from generation to generation? I was 10 years old when 12 students and a teacher were killed at Columbine High School. That was more than 20 years ago. I remember a whole lot of arguments about guns since then, but I can't tell you what changes we as a society made to prevent that kind of tragedy from happening again. Instead, there have been so many mass shootings and so many hate crimes and so many acts of violence against women and minorities and people of color that it can be hard to remember them all. In 2016, 49 people were killed and 50 more injured at a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. I was living in New Jersey at the time and often went down to Washington, D.C. to visit my church and my friends. A few days after the shooting, I took an early train and spent most of the morning sitting in DuPont Circle before meeting with my late pastor and mentor, the Reverend Dr. Jeff Crabiel. As it turned out, that would be the last time that I ever spoke with him one-on-one before his sudden death, which might be part of the reason I think of this morning so often. As I said, 49 people had been killed and 50 injured at a gay nightclub that week in Florida. DuPont Circle in Northwest Washington, D.C. is a notoriously LGBTQIA+ friendly community, and in the before times, the gay pride parade would start right in front of my church there. So of course there had been a very large vigil at DuPont Circle, the park the neighborhood gets its name from. It had rained the night before I arrived, so many of the colorful handmade posters and notes left around the fountain had been destroyed. I spent several hours sitting in this park. I had a novel and a cup of tea, but somehow I spent most of the time watching in silence as district employees carefully gathered up the dripping remnants of the shrine. The morning smelled like wilting carnations and sadness, and the smell of the city after the rain. And as I sat looking at the fountain, I saw that some of the candles were burning. Someone must have come back to the park early that morning to relight them. I thought about grief, how over time, the messages of support fade away, and you're left alone and expected to move on. I thought about ink running like tears. I thought about the crowd that I knew had gathered just nights before, and I wondered whether change would come before the crowd inevitably had to gather again to hold another vigil for another act of hatred and violence towards another group of people. After the posters were cleared away, the employees picked up the flowers. Bag after bag was filled and set in the back of the truck. Reverently, they took the beads and the candles and rearranged what was salvageable into its own little shrine, and in silence, got back into the truck and drove away. Change means that something else has to end. Silent complicity has to end. Empty messages of thoughts and prayers without action behind them have to end. Casually hurtful language has to end. Our words matter, and how we talk about individuals and groups of people says a lot about who we are. Maybe you aren't being openly racist to a person of color, or dehumanizing the person you are talking to by dismissing their problems as inconsequential or exaggerated. Maybe your words will never leave the room. Maybe it's easier to revert to familiar language rather than keep track of what is or is not considered offensive these days. But someone is listening. And what they have just heard is that you are not a safe person to open up to about the things that matter to them. And they don't want you to talk about them the same way you talk about other people. Change means that that kind of casual, hurtful language has to end. Because if it doesn't, there will just be more wilted flowers to clean up after another vigil. If it doesn't, there will be another name to chant at a protest. If it doesn't, there will be another mob who calls for someone to be lynched because they don't like the way he looks, or where he's from, or what he has to say. And when that happens, we will find ourselves right back at the foot of the cross, because that is exactly what we did to Jesus. And that is exactly what we keep doing to trans women, to unarmed Black men, to gay Latino men at a nightclub, to Mexican Americans at a summer festival, to Asian American women this week in Atlanta. Again, and again, Jesus reminds us that change means that something else has to end. Again and again, Jesus invites us to plant seeds and watch something new rise up from the ground. Again and again, Jesus pushes us to keep going, to keep growing, to keep the momentum. Again and again, Jesus calls us to be reformed.